Hi, and welcome to this week's episode of the Cure Talks Cancer Podcast. Each week, we'll be hearing from patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, and healthcare professionals to do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. In this week's episode, we spoke with Mark Hoffman about his CLL diagnosis and treatment. Mark started to experience swollen lymph nodes that weren't going away. He finally sought a specialist who did a lymph node biopsy, determining Mark had SLL. At first, he was under watch and wait for his disease, but in 2017, Mark began a clinical trial combining Imbruvica and Venclexta.
You know, the course many times of lymphomas is to watch and wait.
Right.
So I had some time at that point to study a little bit and learn more about the disease. Mm-hmm. And that time a friend of mine said, you know, you really should look into the regional cancer center in your area, which is UCSD. So I filled out the paperwork and got over to UCSD to get a second opinion. And that's why, you know, I recommend everybody get a second opinion when they have cancer. For maybe just for the fact is sometimes, you know, it takes a little while to move, you know, to get an appointment and get everything at the other center so that if you do need something quickly, you're already set up and ready to go. So, and incidentally, you know, even when it comes with like this COVID stuff, the latest treatments are at the regional cancer centers because they're the ones that are most tied into the NIH and have the latest treatments and such. So mm-hmm. it's always good for that.
Through your research, do you have any recommendations for other patients to kind of help them understand or the best way that they could move forward and understand their diagnosis and their treatment options?
I think in the beginning, I think the biggest thing is to just try and learn as much as possible. Fortunately, UCSD had a support group, and I went there and learned a lot. And what's funny is you hear support group and you think, nah, I don't need it and this and that, but it's like you learn a lot just from the people that are at the group and such. So, I guess like one of the things was very helpful is like the LLS, they have a book that has, you know, all about CLL. And so I just started reading through it and stuff. And then incidentally, I got I was told that UCSD might be a good place to get a second opinion. And when I was looking in that LLS book, they had Dr. Kipps listed, who eventually became my doctor. And I was like, okay, he's in this book, that he's one of the editors and such. Another thing that's, you know, very helpful for CLL is CLLsociety.org. And I think they have listed who, you know, doctors in different areas and all kinds of good information on CLL. So.
Okay. And so I know you had mentioned that you were kind of under watch and wait for a while, but then what led to you actually starting to undergo treatment? And then, you know, kind of as a follow-up, what have you been treated with so far?
Okay. Yeah. Fortunately, I had some time that I could get a second opinion and start getting educated. And one of the things I learned getting educated was, you know, before starting treatment, you should always check for your genetics. The something called FISH testing, which you can look for the genetics of your CLL. That's stuff like 13q deleted, 11q deleted, 17p deleted, trisomy 12. Those are some of the types of deletions. So the I was on watch and wait. So I went and I got a second opinion from UCSD, and they ran more data, and they had, you know, a lot of interesting, they went much more in depth looking at more tests and stuff. And so I was going along with both places. And then after 6 months, I went back to the original regional center hematologist, and he was just like, okay, we're going to put you on FCR. Here's the paperwork, go. And I was like, what? You know, I thought I could just be on watch and wait. He's like, under his breath, he's like, I give everyone 6 months and then put them on FCR, the chemotherapy. It's the gold standard. I was like, what? Because I knew of all these new targeted drugs coming out. And then fortunately, I was educated. And this was like a very important milestone in my life. You know, this was at this point, probably life and death. I'm like, I don't think we checked my genetics. And he's like, let me check. And he's like, oh yeah, you're right, we didn't check it. And so, I mean, if I didn't listen to him and I wasn't educated and just got FCR, so it turns out I got my genetics checked, and then it turns out, well, and at that point I was like, I'm gonna stop seeing him. I don't, because I knew there were all these new drugs coming out, and he was downplaying these drugs. He was saying, you know, that there might be issues with these drugs and small side effects, whereas I knew there, you know, there's long-term issues for FCR, which is a, you know, a chemotherapy agent that, you know, can cause long-term damage to your cells. So, you know, with the ability to get these targeted agents, I was like, well, I'll wait on that. So then I continued on my journey, and it turns out that when I did finally get the FISH testing done, I was 17p deleted, unmutated, and that is like, so FCR is very bad to do with 17p deletion, because it the FCR relies on the 17P, the TP53 gene to kill the cancer once it's under attack. Whereas if it's deleted, then it just makes it worse. Mm-hmm. So that's why the education was really important to know. And so then as I was going though, unfortunately, because I was 17P deleted and unmutated, also complex karyotype, I had trisomy 12. So complex karyotype means that you have more than one genetic issue. And because of that, my nodes were starting to grow, and my absolute lymphocyte count, my white count was going up. I crossed, so I was diagnosed in January of 16 by, and I was below 5,000. And then by July, I believe I was at 8,000. And so my white count was going up, my lymph nodes were getting bigger. And then that summer I got cellulitis from probably a little bit of a cut on my foot. And then I was swimming in a lake and it got infected, and so I got a red spot, and it was like swollen and hot a bit. And I happened to text it to the nurse at UCSD, and she's like, "Oh, go right away and to urgent care." And so I went to urgent care, and they put me in for a day on IV and stuff like that. And the reason I mention it is because, you know, after that I went back to UCSD for another appointment, and they were like, well, it might be good to start looking at different treatments. And one of the open treatments at that time was ibrutinib plus Gazyva in a clinical trial. And so I was considering that, but then I knew I was 17p deleted, and I was hearing all this good info on venetoclax. So I really wanted, I wanted to have venetoclax. And so it was a tricky time. You know, do you start with the trial that's there, or do you wait somehow? And so I consulted with some people, and I actually at that point I got another opinion from UC Irvine, and the doctor there said, yeah, you can still wait a bit, but you will need treatment in 6 months. So I was like, okay, I'll wait. And I guess kind of in the back of my mind is, you know, maybe a venetoclax trial will open up or something with venetoclax. Venetoclax wasn't available at that time as a treatment with not being in a trial. So I was considering this one trial, but then decided to wait. So then I was like, okay, since I'm watching and waiting, why don't I try, and was reading about out of Mayo Clinic, they have a phase one and phase two trial with Dr. K and Dr. Shanafield that uses green tea to help control high dose green tea. And so it's the ECGC or EGCG that helps control the CLL. And there's a phase one and phase two trial with evidence that shows that it has can work. So, but with that, I was told though that you need to monitor your blood work, because if you go on these real high doses, it can affect your liver enzymes, ALT and AST. And so I was like, oh, okay, how do I do that? And then I remembered that there's another doctor at UCSD named Dr. Choi. And so that doctor was available. So I made an appointment with him to try this and have him monitor me. So I started taking the high dose green tea and added in, curcumin as well. I put some high doses, and then unfortunately my liver enzymes did go up, and so I had to get off of it. But the good thing that I went to this other doctor is that he told me that another clinical trial would open. This was in like August. He said by December the trial would open. So which would be ibrutinib with venetoclax. So that was exciting. So that's how I eventually found the trial that I would enter.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.